Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789, joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Sommers. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this Mondayest of afternoons?
It's a good one, Will. Excited to be back from the weekend. It was an excellent weekend and thrilled to be with you here on the airwaves across Civic Media.
I'm also thrilled to be here on the airwaves across Civic Media.
Aaron's like,
had to get a little dramatic pause.
Aaron's like, wait, let me make sure this mic's in front of my face before I start talking.
Usually a good move.
Usually a good move. That's okay. But glad to be with you here on the radio today, Will. How was your weekend?
You know what? It happened. It was a weekend. It occurred. There was a Saturday.
There was a Sunday. That's usually how
and,
they go.
Now we're back to a Monday. Well, see, that's what I was going to go. I was going to be like, dude, now we're used to this this Labor Day week, the whole no Monday 32-hour work week. Sign me up, man. We shouldn't even be here today. Let's get this implemented going forward, United States. But that's a conversation for a different day.
I'll work on Mondays so that I can have Friday off. You can take Monday off and then be here on Fridays. You already claim victory by yourself.
That's a great deal for me. I'll take that 10 days out of the week, even if there's only four working days.
I would much rather work Monday through Thursday than Tuesday through Friday.
Oh, dude, no, I'll take the Friday. Because Friday, the stigma of Friday, like, Fridays just feel good going back. Like, people are naturally more lackadaisical. There's
no,
a more
because
fun
then
weekends
Sunday,
coming up feeling like
Sunday would be the true day that you're always asking for on Sunday at that point, where you're like, oh, man, I wish I had another day of the weekend. And that would be Sunday then all of a sudden. And I know that Aaron's argument of, oh, well, it wouldn't really matter because we'd all adjust over time. But in my personal mindset, it would be that's you're always looking for extra time in the weekend when Sunday rolls around because you either put your feet up and relax all day Saturday and then you put off a bunch of things and they all got to get done on Sunday, or you have so much fun doing other things on Saturday, you get to Sunday and you're like, man, I don't have enough time. I wish that there was another day of the weekend. But you'd already have 2 days off. You'd have Friday and Saturday off before that Sunday, so it would be that extra day.
What if you just procrastinated and pushed it back, and then all of a sudden the Sunday was still like, man, I wish I had another day of the week, and then somebody'd be like, dude, you had Friday. Well, yeah, but
I'm
that's
sure,
different
yeah.
because it... I'm going to throw a wrench in that anyways by as someone who has experienced this, I'd say Wednesday. Taking Wednesday off is actually the best. 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 2 days off. I loved that. I had a job like that when I was in college, and that was fantastic. Big fan. Highly recommend it to anybody who is able to get that kind of schedule implemented. But, Luke, as we discussed, it's Monday. We're back. The Wednesdayest Monday of the week. And we are talking big news out of the Capitol today. The committee members, So according to a tweet from Emily Fannin, today lawmakers will vote on the appointment of Wisconsin's chief election officer, Megan Wolf. This is a story we have covered quite extensively on Town Call over the past few weeks and months. The vote would advance her appointment to the Senate floor, which would give Republicans the opportunity to vote down her confirmation, essentially firing her. Committee members will be voting today via paper ballot instead of in person, which is hilarious because, according to Emily, GOP chairman of the committee, Senator Dan Knodel from my neck of the woods, who scheduled the vote on Friday, is not even in Madison today. So our question for you, the people of Wisconsin, is the Senate fulfilling their constitutional obligation? We'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how this has been unfolding, because for the last couple of years, Will, the state Senate, little hesitant to confirm anybody coming out of the Evers administration. Very, I don't know if it's unenthused or what exactly you want to chalk it up to, but hundreds of appointees waiting for state Senate confirmation. No movement. They stopped legislating in April last year? I believe it was. No legislative sessions. They weren't going to hear. Essentially, the beginning of last year, beginning of 2022,
If we did that as our joking about days of the week, Luke, that would essentially be working just Monday and then taking Tuesday through Friday.
Maybe like a half day on Tuesday. Maybe a half day on Tuesday, but essentially just working Monday and then very little else throughout the week. But even the last, when the legislative calendar was getting set back in January of 2022, Fred Prenn was still overstaying his welcome. Sandra Nass was waiting for just over a year at that point, I believe, or just shy of a year at that point, of whether or not she was going to be confirmed to replace Fred Prenn on the Natural Resources Board. And so that's really where we see Devin LeMahieu, State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, say, we're not going to take up any more appointments. Beginning of 2022, he pretty much said there weren't going to be any more confirmations of Evers appointees. And so throughout 2022, they continue to build up. And we saw hundreds, almost 200 appointments wait before the state Senate. And now, even though there's not an appointment that exists, because there was not a majority of commissioners voting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, you need four. There's six commissioners. You need four to get a majority. 3-3 doesn't. 3-0. 3 isn't enough. You need four.
I didn't major in math, Luke, but I'm fairly certain that 3 is, in fact, not 4.
Correct. And in the state statutes, it says 4 is needed. It's not like an ambiguous adaptation of state law. It clearly outlines that you need 4 votes on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, a commission that Republicans in the state legislature over the last 10 years formed. It was Republican control that created this Elections Commission. It is designed to have 3 Republican appointees and 3 liberal appointees, Democratic appointees. And so deadlock by design. In lots of instances when it comes to business before the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But they appointed Megan Wolf. She's applauded nationwide as one of the top election officials in the entire country. And now that there's not a vote to reappoint her because the 3 Democratic appointees abstained, they did not vote to send her renomination to the state Senate. The state Senate, Republican-led state Senate, said, well, we're gonna have a hearing on this. We're gonna adopt that 3-0 vote as our adaptation that she has been renominated to be the administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And so then last week, Dan Canodal, your neck of the woods state senator that won a recent election to the state Senate back on the April ballot in a special session for that seat, or a special election, excuse me, for that seat. He's now in charge of the Wisconsin Elections Committee in the state Senate. And so he's saying, oh, well, he's obligated because the full state Senate took up this vote. I have to conduct it then. We said
he
that
referred
her,
to it as his constitutional duty.
He's saying
ironic.
It's a duty. But if you look at state law, even the legislative lawyers, the attorneys for the legislature said that her 3-0 reappointment vote by the Wisconsin Elections Commission is not a renomination vote. It's not. That's what the lawyers representing Republican lawmakers, all lawmakers, they're the legislature's lawyers, they say that it doesn't count. But Republicans in the state Senate are still going to hold this vote today. And since we got on the air, well, 12 o'clock this afternoon, they started accepting the paper ballot votes, as you pointed out. And they have until about 2 p.m. So we're going to learn this afternoon the state of what is going on in the Republican-led state Senate on this questionable vote at best. I don't know how else you call it anything other than questionable, Will. Would love to hear your thoughts on it, too. If you've got thoughts to share on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. But, Will, they're just going to do it because they say that it's their constitutional duty? Like, what are we talking about here? Their lawyers said, no, this isn't a reappointment, but they're just going to be, lawyers, math, all that be damned. We're just going to take this vote because we want to.
If I may cite a Very humorous text that we got coming out of Waukesha. Numbers and math have a liberal bias, evidently. Reality is what you make of it, I guess, Luke, right? As you noted, this goes back to, I jokingly say friend of the show because of how often we have covered this individual, but the Fred Pren rule, right? As the former Natural Resources Board chairman who decided to stay in his position nearly 2 years after his term expired, and the majority's ruling at the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that the expiration of a term does not create a vacancy, meaning that holdovers in any position appointed by the governor can remain until a confirmation hearing is held by the state Senate. Well, Democrats can play that game too, just as the Republicans did regarding Fred Pren, and with commissioners failing to forward an appointment to the Senate, as the Democrats argued, Wolf could remain in her job indefinitely. However, a day later, Senate Republicans moved forward anyways, with Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu contending that the 3-0 commission vote resulted in a failed motion to reappoint Wolf, and was actually enough votes to reappoint, even though, as you noted, state law says such votes require a majority of commissioners or 4 votes. It's very clear. It's plainly clear and evident. A majority of votes, which is 4 votes, is required. 4 votes were not gathered. It appears that this is, yeah, Luke, just usurping the rules of the Wisconsin Constitution. They are not fulfilling their constitutional obligation, which is, it's funny to hear Senator Dan Knodel say it's his constitutional duty to not follow the Constitution. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not getting it, Luke.
It just seems pretty questionable. And I think it is going to be an interesting show, I guess, of where these votes are. I don't know. It's not a secret paper ballot, right? Well, like, this has got to be, if this is a vote that the state Senate's taking up, it's got to be public knowledge of which state senators are voting which way, correct?
I believe so.
Right. Like, I can't imagine this is a secret ballot. These votes are going to be documented. And the way that the state Senate, the Republican caucus in the state Senate, I think is going to be pretty telling of where we're going to be going for this fall's legislative session when it comes to the political gamesmanship that is being played. Because there's been also cries for impeachment. There have been signs, at least, that maybe not everybody is involved. We've already had a few Republican state representatives say they're not down for impeachment votes. And so maybe there's some cracks in the caucus. Maybe we'll get to see some today when it comes to how the Republican state senators are voting on this matter, if they're doing it in unison, or if there's going to be defectors. It will be telling for later down the road votes that the state Senate is going to be taking up. It will be interesting to keep an eye on, but we want to hear your thoughts on whether or not the state Senate taking up this vote is their constitutional duty because they say it is, or if you agree with the math and the lawyers.
And that, the Constitution itself.
Right, the lawyers are interpreting that. Share your thoughts with us, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to be right back.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking today's vote at the Capitol as the Wisconsin Senate's Election Committee votes whether to advance a Republican-led effort to oust the nonpartisan leader of the state's election agency. Are they fulfilling their constitutional obligation? We'd like to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and we got a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Again, the headline, votes are due in today from a Senate committee on advancing efforts to oust elections chief Megan Wolf. This piece written up by Molly Beck over at the Journal Sentinel. If you got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. But one of the interesting quotes that jumped out to me, Will, reading from the piece a little bit further down than just the beginning, State Senator Dan Fan, a Republican from Fond du Lac and the committee's vice chairman, voted against Wolf's reappointment, citing her absence from a recent public hearing held on the matter. Quote, she didn't show up for her public hearing amongst a host of other issues that were brought up during the public hearing on her appointment. Fan's chief of staff, Tim Lacken, said about the senator's reason for voting against Wolf. Wolf is the center of a partisan firestorm surrounding the state elections agency as commissioners have split on how to accomplish their goal of keeping her in her job amid a push from GOP lawmakers to oust her. The lawmakers cite discontent with the outcome of the 2020 election and practices the commission recommended to help voters navigate the coronavirus pandemic, some of which have since been deemed illegal by Wisconsin judges. And so this is the citing for, again, the lawyers for the legislature said that the vote by the commissioners, the 303, I guess, if you want to call it, because there were three abstaining members, it was a 303 vote, that it did not qualify as a reappointment vote. It missed the threshold of needing four commissioners on this Wisconsin Elections Commission's to reappoint Megan Wolf to be the administrator. And so, but having a hearing then on it, when the lawyers had already determined that it wasn't a reappointment, but the state Senate held a public hearing on the reappointment that wasn't a reappointment, but her not showing up to that, that's the reason that some of the state senators are at least
you didn't show up to our illegitimate circus. Why are you not at our dog and pony show? For that, I'm going to deem you guilty.
Like, Michael Gableman was there. Like, Michael Gableman had, like, chastised Megan Wolf throughout his charade that was what the Republican State Assembly authorized. We're still on the hook. Wisconsin taxpayers still
$2
million
on the hook
Mikey. For the open records lawsuits that are going on still about how Michael Gableman tried to look in and find widespread fraud that found nothing. It just went out in a whimper because he went against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He backed Voss's primary opponent in 2022, and that's why it ended. But we're still on the hook. It hasn't truly ended. It's the only reason Michael Gableman's not still looking for widespread voter fraud.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is just another part of the narrative. That's all it is here to build, is that they can say, oh, you know what? We held this event and they didn't show up. And so that's bad. You got to cancel them. And then doesn't matter that it's an illegitimate event. They just won't say that.
Well, yeah, they're not going to actually say, oh, well, we held this public hearing after the fact that the lawyers had already deemed that it wasn't a reappointment, but we held it anyways. They're just going to say, you didn't show up, and that's why we're holding it against you. And so,
yeah, you're guilty for not showing up, despite the fact that you had no legal obligations to show up to this because there were no legal obligations to even hold this.
Right, there's no vacancy because there has the term is still being filled because there hasn't been any reappointment because the reappointment was not there.
It would be like if you and I said, like, hey, we're hosting a presidential debate, Republican candidates. Please come down to town call next Friday and we'll let you all debate each other. None of them obviously show up because compared to the GOP debate platform, we don't have the legitimacy that they want to seek. And then we sit here and you know, accuse them of being guilty or failing to listen to the will of the voters because they didn't bother showing up. That's not how this works.
Yeah, it's definitely a very confusing situation as well. If you're only tuning into some headlines here or there, highly recommend you listen to Town Call every Monday through Friday, 12:15 to 1, so we can help break these down. You can also share your thoughts with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to Sharky and Racine calling in. Sharky, what are your thoughts on this vote that the Wisconsin State Senate is going to take today?
I'm definitely against it. You talked about a horse and dog and pony show. I just it's sickening. And I gotta tell you, I want to share this with you, is that I on the first weekend in May, we had a, you know, they had a budgetary thing, and Boss invited his lap dog Wongard to this thing at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. And instead of going through the things that were concerning the people there, they immediately got on to this election thing with the voting. People talked about lead pipes. They talked about, you know, safety in our classrooms. But they didn't want to talk about it. They wanted to talk about Mr. Wongard's automatic weapon. And the director of the election president or association, a gal.
She's the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator.
Yeah. Megan Wolf, yes. They jumped on that, and they used in this, instead of talking about the budget, Robin Voss talked about getting her out. I was a little bit new to the process, but they set us up in a little circle, like we're going to have cookies and cream and coffee and something like that in a circle, mind you, with adults. It was the most disgusting output of government attempts to get these people to understand their way versus the people's way, and they just ignored. But they hammered the Wolf, hammered it, Mr. Voss and Mr. Vongard.
Well, and Sharkey, correct me if I'm wrong, but my guess would be in those discussions of the 2020 election, the way that it was conducted and being the reason for why Megan Wolf should no longer serve as the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. Did any of those elected officials say that they questioned the ballots that they were elected on in 2020?
No, not at all. You know, they keep their hand in their vest, you know, and I almost want to move out of Wisconsin. I'm so disgusted. He happens to be my rep, and I can't stand what he stands for. And his like you say, lapdog should probably resign. So I tell you, fellas, keep up the good work. I'm proud of what you're doing here. You're hitting it good. I've been in government for 40 plus years. You can't tell by the way I talk now, but that's a disability. But I'll tell you what, gentlemen, keep up the good work and keep the light on. And let's hope for the best here.
Really appreciate that, Sharkey.
Thanks, Sharkey.
Are you by chance listening on WRJN down there in Racine? Oh, we lost Sharkey before he could answer. But WRJN, excellent station down in southeastern Wisconsin, covering Racine and Kenosha. Also bringing you the Green Bay Packers. Going to jump to that subject in a little bit. Yesterday's performance, overperformance, if you may ask, or maybe performing right
expected
up to expectations.
Expected performance if you listen to Fridays. Fridays show. Shout out to Hawk, because I'm going to have to diss him a little bit once that segment comes
up. We'll
get
into that in a little bit, but as of right now, discussing the vote taking place right now, paper ballots being counted by state senators, taking up a questionable reappointment vote by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Again, it was a 3-0 vote. It did not meet the state law threshold of having a majority of commissioners needing 4 for a reappointment. But state Senate still taking it up. The Republican-led state Senate having that vote. If you want to share your thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Up next on this Monday afternoon, let's head over to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, what are your thoughts on the day?
Well, apparently our legislatures on the Republican side can't count up to 4. I know the difference between 3 and 4. Like the average preschooler, if not before that, knows the difference between 3 and 4. And they are the ones who actually wrote the law for the new elections commission. And wrote the law that, you know, put Megan Wolf in the position that she's in. They're the ones who decided the law would say a majority rather than. When 3 would be actually be, you know, enough to, you know, to reappoint her.
Well, they didn't say a majority of voting commissioners either, because 3-0 would have been then they would
is technically a majority, and that's the argument Devin LeMahieu made.
Right,
yeah.
But that's not what state law puts out there. It specifically says a majority of all commissioners, so you need 4. You can't do it with 3.
Right, and absolutely right. I mean, but technically it's 3 is not adequate. I mean, and technically what they're supposed to do as sworn constitutional officers, they're supposed to not uphold the state constitution, and part of upholding the state constitution is upholding state law, and state law clearly says there's got to be 4.
Yeah.
And I mean, these guys are just purely political animals, and that you have, like I said, your average preschooler knows the difference between 3 and 4, and that these guys have the don't have the integrity of the average preschooler, because the average preschooler knows more about fair play than these guys do.
Well, I don't know if it's that they don't know the difference between 3 and 4, Mark. I think that it's they're just trying to do whatever they can to keep there is A lot of
maintain power at all costs.
It's not even power in this instance. I don't believe there is. It's specifically about power when it comes to still questioning the 2020 election results. There is a lot of base voters for conservative or Republican candidates that are fired up, though, and it comes down to motivating them. They want to show to them that they believe in the big lie of 2020, just like those voters do. And so it's these elected officials that are trying to continue to have that base of voters to go back to and say, look, we're doing everything we can to try to unsteal or fix the stolen election that happened in 2020, when they know full well that they're not contesting any of their elections to that 2020 ballot. Like, these lawmakers were also on those ballots, and they're not saying that their elections in 2020 were stolen or rigged or anything. It comes
down to the elections that we won were secure, the elections that we didn't were not. And Luke, when I say maintain power, you could also look at it, because this is something that I've heard from a number of conservative voters that I have spoken to, is there's a fear of getting primaried from the right.
Yeah.
Right? You noted that.
Voss only won by 300 votes or something like that in his most recent primary election.
Yep. To a more extremist individual in the primary. If you don't support, this is the way that the base of the party is starting to head. They genuinely believe a lot of this, a lot of these conspiracy theories that have been disproven time and time and time again by some of the most well-paid lawyers in the country. And if you don't go along with them, they'll find a candidate who does. And in these safe districts, because of the ultra gerrymandered maps, the primaries really are the election, right? Whoever wins the election or the primary election is very likely to win in the general, just based on the letter next to their name. So there's so many of these issues are intertwined, Luke. We say it all the time.
Yeah, and so I think it has less to do with power, and it has more to do with motivation. It has more to do with motivating those base voters and showing them, even though they may, behind closed doors, say this election stuff is nonsense. Why are we doing this? Outwardly facing, they're taking the line that it's like, oh yeah, the 2020 election, there's something there. We got to keep looking into that there. But really, they know that there's
nothing. And keep voting for me, because I'll be the one to do it for you.
Right, and they're the ones that will keep, rather, again, there are individuals that are more than happy with having the government have this as their primary role and responsibility of going to try to go on a wild goose chase to find widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election, while at this point it is the most audited, reviewed, litigated election, if not in recent time ever, for Wisconsin history. Because we've looked at it time and time again now. It has been reviewed so meticulously that if there was any widespread fraud, any at all, we would have found it by now. And it's just not the case. And so it is solely for keeping up appearances to primary voters that the Republicans seem to be going down this rabbit hole. Folks, if you got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation, get to your phone calls, and discuss a little bit of the weekend news dump as well when we return.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
And we're going to head back over to the phone lines. We got Luann calling in from Hales Corners. Luann, what's on your mind on this Monday afternoon?
Hi there. This is kind of a local news story. There's a school board vote tonight happening for the Whitnall School District, and the policy was introduced by one board member, and it is actually a policy written by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and it's one of those policies that, for example, makes you address any child in your room by their birth certificate. It's very extreme, and I just want to alert your listeners to show up tonight and speak up tonight, because that's what I plan to do.
Good work, Luann. Hey, these communities, this is the type of, these are the type of events that really matter. We always talk about how all politics is local, right? Grassroots organizing at the ground level by showing up to these type of events. Our numbers are our strength, and we're the ones who have built these relations in these communities. Make sure you get out there and make sure your voice is heard.
Appreciate that information, Luann. Yeah, all politics are local, so if you've got a local story that you want highlighted here on Town Call, or if you've got a subject that you'd like Will and I to dive into, you can send us an email, towncall@civicmedia.us, and we will take those suggestions there at the email. But Will, we like to do a little bit of the Friday or weekend news dump as well here on Monday afternoons, and one of the fun ones of the weekend, as you've already pointed out, Hawk Sullivan on the show with us on Friday, having some fun with Ask the Bartender and Wisconsin Headlines. Bears fan, all around excellent guy. Probably one of the
other than the whole Bears fan.
No, stuff, I don't hold it against him. He's a tremendous guy. Really, really love Hawk joining us on the show on Friday. And maybe he wasn't too thrilled with the news dump that happened yesterday, but just a bunch of touchdowns scored by the Green Bay Packers in Chicago, kicking off the 104th season for both of the teams. But a lot of fun. It didn't look all that inexperienced.
Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
He was in the end zone twice. That's where Romeo Doubs
found himself. We found him, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. And so, pretty good game. Had a lot of fun watching it. What were your thoughts and takeaways from the Packers taking care of business down in Chicago?
Well, I don't want to sit here and toot my own horn and say I called it or anything, but give a listen to Friday's episode because I did, in fact, call it. It's a young Packers roster, but if there's one thing that's certain, it's death, taxes, and Green Bay owning the Chicago Bears. Humorous little side note, Soldier Field's Wikipedia page, temporarily listed Jordan Love as the owner of the stadium after transitioning ownership from Aaron Rodgers. Love has purchased equity in the Chicago Bears, who he will now be owning for the next 15 years.
One day, that whole gimmick is going to come back and bite the Packers in its ass. But
until that day is not today.
Until then, I'm going to enjoy it. That's all I'm going to have to say. Detroit, scary for the NFC North. The fact that they were able to, on banner night, take care of the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. That was a statement win by the Lions, but I think the Packers also taking care of business in a pretty telling statement without Christian Watson as well. So, like, one of the most explosive offensive weapons that the Packers have, not suited up to play yesterday. So he was dealing with a hamstring injury. And so it's pretty great all-around win. I think it's going to be exciting. I believe they go to Vegas now, starting two games on the road.
No, next week is in Atlanta.
Atlanta? And then they host Vegas at home?
Let me double-check week three. I know next week is down in Atlanta.
So that's quite a few home games to kick off the season, but or away games to kick off the season, but I believe they'll be home for that Vegas. I could be wrong.
No, we host the Saints week three.
We host the Saints week three. Gotcha. Okay. Do we even play the Raiders? Well, I don't know why Las Vegas is popping around in my head then. I thought we played
do.
Them next.
We are in Las Vegas October 9th.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, if you've got thoughts on the Green Bay Packers, we want to hear them, or just any of the weekend news headlines that we may have missed here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to the phone lines. We got Karina in Milwaukee calling in. Karina, what did you see this weekend that you think we need to be discussing here on Town Call?
Well, I went to Canada to see my relatives, you know, when the Soviet Union was over. A lot of people left, and my family specifically, we're now all over the world, so some of us are in Canada. So my niece going to school to be a teacher, and we had a huge conversation trying to talk her out of it, actually. And my cousin was saying, who you going to teach and how you going to teach and what you will have, what kind of a level of satisfaction if today in Toronto, in the middle schools, they have in the bathroom, they have a litter box. You know, for what? Because some of the kids think there are half animals. okay?
All right. Is that true, Karina? Because that was a talking point throughout a lot of the midterm elections last year. There was some research done here in the United States.
The lady was talking about the school. The lady was talking about the school. And I'm coming in, and just a lady called before me talking about school meeting. And I'm just encouraging people and parents whose kids are in schools to go and do something about it, because it's scary right now what's going on in our schools.
Appreciate the phone call, Karina. Yeah, I think participating in your local school boards are super important. Again, I will point out the Pew Research that satisfaction with public schools among parents that have children in the public schools, very high right now. The dissatisfaction that you see, according to Pew Research, is that the parents and individuals that do not have children in the public schools think that there are problems going on in the public schools that aren't actually there. And so I highly encourage,
I have to note, Luann, too, Luke,
yeah,
that the litter story is generally small amounts of cat litter have been kept in classrooms as emergency supplies in case students are locked in a classroom during a shooting. There have not been any proven or documented cases.
You want to know when I saw cat litter in high school, Will? And you might have seen it as well.
Cleaning up vomit would be my
cleaning
other
guess. Up vomit. That is what it was, and now it's other bodily fluids, as you pointed out, in instances of mass shootings. And so the reason why the cat litter is in schools, very disturbing, but not for the instances that some individuals believe that it's in there. But we appreciate the phone call, Karina. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, you can go check out the podcast on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can also follow Town Call wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and all the other terrific ones. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of Town Call. Again, if you've got any suggestions, topics you'd like us to cover here on the show, you can email us, towncall@civicmedia.us. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Go Pack.